grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text for our sermon today is based on the Gospel lesson, reading Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 29. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, while he could justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, in Sunday school the children learn Bible texts and lead the small catechism, and the lesson is opened with a hymn. First in Luther's small catechism are the Ten Commandments. The first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods." What does this mean for us? We are to fear, love and trust God above anything else. And so on through the catechism, the children continue to learn the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Sacrament of Holy Baptism, the Sacrament of the Altar, the Office of the Keys and Confession, and also the Table of Duties. Likewise, the youth of believing Israelites would have known the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and also the ceremonial law. When Jesus came upon earth, people knew the law. They had gained a knowledge of it in Jewish homes and schools. This we can see when a certain lawyer came to Jesus with a question, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus asked him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" The man did not mention any particular commandments, but gave a summary of the whole law according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and other parts of Scripture. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." Every commandment is important. Every one is God's word. But more important is the spirit of the law. For example, we read in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." And likewise, you read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, that whoever hates his brother is a murderer. The Ten Commandments are like 10 pearls strung on a silken cord. Love is a fulfilling of the law. If this cord breaks, if we do not have the love which God requires, all the pearls will be spilt. All the commandments will be broken. We read in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, "Love does no harm to a neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilment of the law." It is also necessary to remember that it is not only sin to do wrong against the Ten Commandments, but it is also sin to omit to do good as God's law requires. Therefore, today, let us consider not only the transgression of the Ten Commandments, but also the undone deeds of the law. May the Lord bless meditation. Firstly, what is actual sin? Let us first look at Luther's Small Catechism, question 98. What is actual sin? Actual sin is every act against a commandment of God in thoughts, desires, words, or deeds. We read in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." These are sins of commission, as you read in James chapter 1, verse 15. "Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin." These are sins that we do. These are called actual sins because we act or do them. We commit them in our hearts by having evil desires, wishes or longings. We commit them in our minds by having evil thoughts and imaginations. We commit them with our mouths by cursing, swearing, blasphemies, false witness, filthy talking, calling insulting names, and teaching false doctrines. We commit them in our deeds, which spring from the evil lusts of the heart. All these are called sins of commission. However, they are also sins of omission, as we read in James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This is the good that we fail to do. We are guilty of sinning when we neglect to do what we ought to do, as when we do not fear, love, and trust in God, do not pray, praise, and give thanks, do not hear and learn his word, and do not do the many good things we should do for our neighbour. The priest and Levite sinned when they passed by the helpless man at the wayside. The rich man sinned in not helping poor Lazarus. These are called sins of omission, and we're guilty of many of them. It is not enough that we refrain from evil, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, but we must also do what God has commanded and be zealous of good works. And then we must also acknowledge that we also commit many sins of which we are not aware, as you read in Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. So secondly, we look at the undone deeds of the law. A certain lawyer, yes, this was a man learned in the law of God in the Old Testament scriptures. He came with life's most transcending question. There are many important questions for us today. How to make a living, how to get an education, how to educate our children, and how to enjoy life. But all of these pale into insignificance beside the question of this lawyer. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He tested Jesus. He may have tried to entangle Jesus in his talk, but on the other hand, this man may have been sincere. Nevertheless, he came to test Jesus out, to see whether he would be able to satisfy him on this age-old question. Jesus does take him seriously, and the man becomes seriously if he had not been before. The noble personality of Jesus may have impressed him. Jesus asks with another question, a question in the field of knowledge in which the lawyer specialised. And he knew the law well because he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." The first table of the commandments shows us the unlimited love toward God that we should all have. They are the first, second, and third commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They all belong under the summary of the first table. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. The second table of the commandments shows us the unselfish love of the neighbour that we should all have. Bad commandments 4 to 10. Honour your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. And you shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his cattle, or anything that is your neighbour's. They all belong under the summary of the second table, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. What is common to both of these tables is love. So love is the fulfilment of the law. And we read in James chapter 2, verse 10, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." The breaking of any commandment offends against this love, the spirit of the law, and automatically breaks every commandment. You may also recall the instance of the rich ruler. It is very similar. We read in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 23. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honour your father and your mother. And he said, All these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. The lawyer in our text does not say, like the certain ruler, All these things I have kept from my youth. However, he too was wanting to justify himself. When Jesus said to him, You have answered rightly, do this and you will live, he thought he had kept all of this. He was like a man who saw the ocean for the first time and who exclaimed in disappointment, Is that all? He could not see the breadth and depth of it, and therefore thought that the ocean was only as large as he could see. So many people will think, when they hear the law of God explained, Why, is that all? It's only 10 commandments. That is easy. I can do that. They do not realize that while it is true, a true way to inherit eternal life, it is also an impossible way. A perfectly good set of stairs leads to the top of a multi-story building, but it is of no use to a crippled, unable to walk, and only an elevator will bring him to the top. And we read in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. However, the lawyer did not agree to this. Therefore, wanting to justify himself, he said to Jesus, And who is my neighbour? In answering this question, Jesus shows by illustration that not only evil done, but also good deeds undone, are sins that condemn and that make earning eternal life impossible. Jesus, the master servant illustrator, tells a parable of the Good Samaritan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, bore him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbour to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. The priest and the Levite did nothing to help the man. The do-nothing policy was their sin. However, the love of the Samaritan was unprejudiced by nationality or religion. This love was love for the enemy, an unselfish love, and it did not consider personal inconvenience. It gave practical love. He did not go on to report the case to the Jericho Community Care Group or Relief Agency. He even went the extra mile. He saw the case through, for he said to the innkeeper, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. A very sick officer went to a mineral spring for the benefit of his health, but the hotel keeper refused to let him in, lest he should die while under their roof. At last a gentleman came forward and said, This officer is my near relative. He may have my bed and I'll sleep on the sofa. The hotel keeper consented and the half-fainting man was carried to the gentleman's room. When he had rested a while, his first question was, May I ask your name, my kind friend? How are you related to me? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, for I have learned from him, that my neighbour is my brother. The parable of the Good Samaritan ends with these words of Jesus, "Go and do likewise." This is a good rule for sanctified lives of those who have found the true way to inherit eternal life. But eternal life must be received as an inheritance, as a free gift. Both our deeds done and our deeds undone condemn us. The divine Samaritan must pour the oil and wine of his suffering and death into the wounds of our sins. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life, a faith that shows itself by love for God and our neighbour. So let us close with the words of the hymnist, "Thy works, not mine, O Christ, speak gladness to this heart. They tell me all is done, they bid my fear depart." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.